Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to this week's episode of Mill Liberty. I'm your host, Caleb Franz. This is the voice of liberty for a new generation. I am thrilled to have you here this week on today's program. I want to thank you all for tuning in and thank you all for being a part of this network, being a part of this movement, and maybe you're not, maybe you are just listening in to hear what somebody like myself, somebody of the liberty persuasion, has to say and has to think, and in any case, I want to thank you for that too, because I think it's always good to listen in and hear what other people have to think, and that's what builds our mental capacity and our critical thinking skills. So in any case, whatever the reasoning is that you're listening to today's program, thank you. You make this show possible, and you're the reason why I do this show. With that being said, I do want to apologize for not having a program up last week. We were going to have a guest, but it didn't pan out quite the way that I thought it was going to, so I didn't have enough time to put another show together, because today's episode and the next few episodes, and we might have another guest kind of in the middle to break up this next couple week series that we're going to be doing here. That's going to be very fun. I think all of you are going to rather enjoy it, or at least there's some potential for enjoyment and entertainment nonetheless. But I do want to apologize about that, because we missed last week. Like I said, guests just didn't pan out, so we had to either reschedule or just cut that all together. So this week's episode, we are going to be doing, and we are going to be having one moving forward, obviously. And starting this week, this is going to get weird, it's going to get interesting, it's going to get really, really fun, because we get to explore our imagination, we get to explore some theories, and we get to explore really the way that we are heading in the immediate future. One of the things that this program has done in the past is that we have always focused on either historical events, especially whenever it comes to like some of the series that we have, whether it be our Horrors of Collectivism series that we have in October, or whether it be something like more recently we had our series on imperialism and interventionism, and that was kind of a two-parter, but a lot of it dwelled on the historical aspects of it. And history is really important to understand, especially if you want to be able to look at certain situations with the right lenses. History, a certain knowledge of history and critical thinking abilities, and being able to use reason and logic, all of these things are so important in our way that we look at the world today, and the way that we look at the future of the world as in the way that we would like for it to be, especially if we're trying to make it a safer place for liberty. But with that being said, like I said, we do history shows, and we do some current event shows, we do some shows on logic and reasoning and economics and all these different things. And you can pretty much point to almost anything, and we've done a show on it, I believe, in the past. One thing that we haven't really dived into much yet is the issues that's going to be coming very quickly in the immediate future, in the very, very near future. Some people might think of it as science fiction. Some people might think of it as, oh, this is going to happen, but it's going to happen a long, long time from now. But the reality is that because of the way that the marketplace works, because of the way that technology grows, that Capitalism has allowed us to make leaps and bounds, especially if you look at the past, say, 100 years of human history, and the way that it has advanced so rapidly. It is so important to have at least one foot on, or at least one eye constantly on where we're heading in the future. So within the next few episodes of MidLiberty, what we're going to do is we're going to take some time to really hash out some of the more important aspects of the things that are going to be coming, why they're important, why we need to have good answers and good reasoning behind the things that we either support or shouldn't support or do support, and then how libertarians can have a seat at the table, because too often we are playing response, we're playing defense, we are too often going out into the conversation, instead of building the conversation, we are reacting to the conversation and trying to find the best way to fit liberty into that narrative. Whereas if we start out and we come out the gate swinging and we have the right answers already, then it becomes so much easier of a battle to convince people to give liberty and freedom and capitalism and free markets, to give all these things a try, if we already know where the conversation is headed. So, with that being said, we're going to be covering three major topics within the next few weeks. And again, I might split it up with an interview in between to kind of either reschedule one that I had or have another one come in, just depending on how that works out. Or it might be after these next three series or next three episodes. But nonetheless, this is what you can expect on these next couple episodes on futurism and the future of liberty. Today, we are going to be going over issues surrounding automation primarily. But out of automation, you have issues such as universal basic income, UBI. Which is a staple of a couple people's presidential campaigns currently. Or, on the other side of the coin, and also kind of somewhat similar to UBI, you have issues such as AI, artificial intelligence. All of these things are connected to each other. Artificial intelligence is obviously very connected to automation, and UBI, that's one of the core arguments for the necessity of UBI is automation and artificial intelligence. So we're going to be going over that today. On the next edition of this series, we're going to be going over we're going to be going over blockchain and cryptocurrencies and the future of money, because that is going to be something that is going to be just completely transformative whenever we fully utilize that form of technology. That is going to be something that will fundamentally disrupt all of our lives. So I'm going to be bringing on a guest specifically for that one, and it'll be somebody who's very close to myself and somebody who you may know. And then after we go over those two things, then we're going to get into the really big sci-fi stuff and cover where our place as a species will head in the immediate future beyond our own home. And by our own home, I mean here on Earth. How can we expect that the advancements of technology will take a place in the future of space exploration and the future of space colonization, whenever that eventually happens, because it's happening quickly? And will this be something that we'll have to wait eons for because of government bureaucracy and government government deliberation, or is this something that we can actually look to the private marketplace, look to certain capitalists, look to private entrepreneurs and innovators for the answers for? And that's where I think things get really exciting. If you're a nerd like I am, you dreamed of the days where we wouldn't just be a singular planetary society. You dreamed of the kind of days where you can jump on a rocket ship and go to another planet, and there's an entire home there for you. If you're a kind of nerd like I am, those are the kind of things that are exciting. Or even if you're not, you cannot deny the excitement that comes with. So we're going to be going over there and why it's so important for libertarians to have a voice in that. Because as we expand as a species, as the human species expands, whether it be in the realm of automation, whether it be in the realm of money and crypto, or whether it be in the realm of actual human expansion into other planets, libertarians are going to need a seat at the table. Libertarians are going to need to know what the right answers and what the right responses are, because if we don't, the people who will have the right answers, or at least who will have a answer and will have a response, those are the kind of people who you do not want to have a seat at the table, or at least not a seat at the table without any sort of dissent. Looking at history, we know how poorly that train can go down. We need to be prepared for this, and we need to be ready for this, and I think we are. I think we're getting very close to that. But this is a very good reminder of why these things are important. So, today, we're going to kick all of this off. So, let's get started with what is automation? What is universal basic income? I think most people know what AI is, but what is AI and the difference between the sort of movie theater version of what AI looks like versus the reality of what AI looks like. Now, I must profess that I'm no expert on this, and I would, if you know anyone who's a really good expert on these kind of subjects that you would like to hear on the program, I would love to bring them on. However, some of these things that I'm going to be going over, you don't have to be an expert on. A lot of this covers generally common sense thinking, and especially from a libertarian's perspective. Libertarians have never feared the rise of progress and technology. Classical liberals and libertarians have always been proponents of this idea. This is the inevitable march and the inevitable stream of capitalism. There has always, every time a new disruptor comes in, this is what automation is. It's the thing that makes the human job easier, and either easier in some regards, or it just completely eliminates the need for human jobs, for certain human jobs, altogether. Now, some people see that and they're like, oh my gosh, that's terrifying. You mean my job could be at risk? Well, yes, possibly. But the problem is that we tend to look at automation through a very particular lens. We tend to look at automation in that which is seen. This is what Bastiat commonly refers to as that which is seen. What is seen whenever automation happens is that somebody might lose their job. If you go back, say, 100 years ago, or a little bit over 100 years ago, I suppose, electricity was terrifying to the lamppost lighter in every city that you would go to, because that job was being put at risk. You fast forward a few years, the automobile was terrified to the stagecoach driver. You fast forward a few years, the ATM was terrifying to the bank teller. While yes, some people will lose their job with automation, or their job becomes inept or just generally not useful anymore. What is unseen about this, or at least unseen currently until it actually happens, is the sheer amount of good-paying jobs that all of these things create. You have so many more good-paying jobs now because the automobile occurred than you ever would have if we were still using horse and buggy. Not to mention, with all the jobs that it improves, not to mention the standard of living improves along with it. You see, so many people who look at automation fearfully look at the marketplace as this sort of zero-sum game, where for some people to make it in this world, other people have to lose. And the advancement of technology is constantly a job killer. If that were the case, there is absolutely no reason, and this is a great argument that Milton Friedman made. If the entire purpose of government was just to protect jobs, then give everyone a shovel and start digging ditches. Those are jobs. The problem is that you can give one person a ditch digging job using heavy machinery. It'll be much more efficient, much better paying, and it frees up the marketplace to focus on so many other items. This is the true brilliance and beauty of the marketplace, is that whenever one job frees up, people will never be out of employment. Current jobs that exist might dissipate, absolutely. There are certain things today that are around right now that will not be around in 5, 10, 15 years. That should not be feared. Nobody wants to go back to the days of the bank teller. Nobody wants to go back to the days of the horse and buggy. And nobody wants to go back to the days of gas-lit lamps. Nobody is worried or nobody is concerned. Nobody cares about the amount of people that lost their jobs due to progress back 100 years ago. Mostly because those people who lost their jobs did not stay unemployed. Those people who lost their jobs got better jobs after that industry died out. The only thing that is the true job killer is when government regulation, government taxation, government overreach, red tape, bureaucracy, all of these things. That is the only thing that is a true job killer that actually destroys a job. Anything that occurs in the marketplace where somebody might lose a job, that is creative disruption. That is creative disruption and creative destruction. While, yes, some people lose their jobs, it opens up so many other variables within the marketplace to where that person who lost their job doesn't necessarily have to worry as much about where they're going to find employment next, because this new and innovative industry that's coming along, while it might kill your one job, it's opening up three or four jobs that you can choose from. That's the way that automation and creative disruption works. It's not a zero-sum game. Everyone who's looking right now, and this is where AI comes into play. Okay. AI is seen as something that is different this time, whenever you're talking about automation. Because if robots are doing everyone's jobs, then What jobs can humans possibly fill? You're going to be looking at, and this is pointed to quite often by both conservatives and liberals. You're looking at, you know, 80-90% unemployment rates because of AI in 30 some years. Well, some of that is true. If you look at the current job market today, a lot, and I mean a lot of that, will be done by robots in a very near future. Not all of that is a bad thing. When you hear somebody say, in the next, by 2030, there's going to be like a 90% unemployment rate because robots will have taken all of our jobs. Now, of course, that tends to be the more tame version of the doomsday scenario that most people paint for artificial intelligence, because a lot of people tend to paint the Terminator scenario or the Ultron scenario where the AI goes rogue and tries to kill the world. And I'm here to say that while that's possible, and I am certainly afraid of what artificial intelligence can be used for when in the hands of government, that's always going to be a fear of mine. Every new technology that comes about, I'm always terrified of what government might be able to use it for. What sort of new form of tyranny can government unlock with this new type of technology? That's always, always a scary thing in the back of my mind. However, if we let that prevent us from moving forward, we would not have the iPhone, we would not have, really virtually anything that we think of today that is a necessity in our day-to-day lives. We cannot let government overreach bar us from progressing as a human species. That, if anything else, is more of an excuse to try to rail government in, because these natural progressions in humanity, these are all things that are good for society. Government corrupting it is not a good excuse to stop it. It's a good excuse to shrink the size and the scope of government itself. Now, I am not going to tell you that I know every possible scenario that could roll out with AI, because I don't. In fact, most of if you just look 10 years ago, most of the things that are here today did not exist 10 years ago. The famous, I believe it was Time Magazine in 2008 had a cover of, I think it was like a BlackBerry, and it was advertising it as the phone of the future. That's hilariously laughable today, in 2019. It was like a Nokia BlackBerry or something like that, as the phone of the future. That's hilariously laughable in 2019. Now, in 2008, would I have been able to say, oh no, that won't be the case, because this and this will happen, and then we'll have an iPhone XS. Well, no, because you can't look into the future. You can predict certain things about the future, especially based on current models and current rates of growth, but you can't predict exactly how one industry will die off or another industry will take its place. That's just the way the market has always worked for the entirety of human history, when free markets have been enabled. And there is absolutely no reason to believe that this time is somehow different than the last. If anything, we need to be celebrating this, we need to be embracing it, obviously with certain precautions. Like I said, the idea of government having artificial intelligence is terrifying to me. I am not embracing that whatsoever. The idea of governments being able to look into my cell phone or my internet history or my Facebook or unlock my camera on my front facing phone, all of those things, or my microphone or something like that, all of those things are terrifying to me. I don't want smartphones banned just because governments can utilize them for wrongdoing. And neither should you. Because in our best case scenario, artificial intelligence will be able to take us to places that we've never been able to go before. Artificial intelligence, including the farthest reaches in space, to the deepest depths of the ocean, and even below so. Because you won't have to worry about human endangerment whenever you have an artificially intelligent robot being able to go out and do the dangerous things, the potentially dangerous things that humans would once do. Those are all good steps in human progress that will take us to the next level of our society. So many people were worried during the Industrial Revolution that modern industries, in fact, that was the biggest gripe during the Civil War, was that when the Industrial Revolution was really starting to kick off in the South, plantations and slave owners were pissed off at the Industrial Revolution as it was starting to really kick into high gear because they were making slavery obsolete. Capitalism in the marketplace and automation was making the use of human labor obsolete, of human-owned labor obsolete. Nobody looks at that as a bad thing today. Back then, they did, because that was their livelihoods. Nobody feels bad for the plantation owner nowadays for their livelihoods being destroyed. What destroyed it, and this is what truly made the 13th Amendment and the abolition of slavery possible. It was not possible. Now I'm going way back for this example, but it was not possible in the days of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson for this reason, because our society was not there yet. When you unlock the floodgates of human potential, innovation, and free markets, only then was it possible to get society to the point to where they were like, okay, I can definitely see this. Does that make it any more or less moral? Absolutely not. But the American society, if it were not for the progress of the Industrial Revolution, it would have never gotten to the point to where we finally put the final nail in the coffin when it came to slavery. And moving forward, there's going to be a lot of different industries that will be destroyed, that will not be 5, 10, 15 years from now. They will not exist. And that is perfectly all right. I have no clue what is going to come out of the woodworks in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, especially the further down the road we get. I could have never guessed that the iPhone would play such a pivotal role in our society just 10 years ago. There's so many different things that you cannot predict, but you can look back at human experience and say, oh, okay, that's where we were whenever we didn't have anywhere near the same kind of technology just 100 years ago. And look at the amount of progress from the Industrial Revolution to today that we have made. We make cars, we made airplanes, we now have widespread commercial air use, whereas before it was pretty much only used for military use. We landed a man on the moon, and as I said, we'll be going into this on our third episode of this futurism episode, but we have private space exploration now taking charge and taking us to other planets. These are all things that you cannot predict, certainly not 100 years out. But you can look at human experience in the past and say, okay, if this was pretty incredible, within the past 100 years, where we went from where we went from just discovering, or excuse me, just utilizing electricity to landing people, to getting ready to land people on Mars. Just imagine what the next 100 years will look like whenever we move forward. Now, there is one other thing that I wanted to go over, and that is the concept of universal basic income. And this is very connected because this has been, when I first heard of the notion of universal basic income, I was a bit intrigued, to say the least, because this was even something that Hayek indicated and signaled his support behind. And it was very intriguing to me. And there are a lot of people within the libertarian movement, within the liberty movement, that that have signaled their support behind this for very specific reasons. Now, some of them support it because it is a good replacement for the welfare state as we are trying to rail in the welfare state. While they might ideologically be against all forms of welfare, this is a good method to replace the current welfare state and downgrade the size of government. And there's some of that that I think is, there's some arguments there that I think could be of merit. However, I don't think that that would actually be what you get. I think what you would actually get would be UBI and the welfare state instead of UBI instead of the welfare state, which would be very dangerous. And some of the other notions here that is kind of assumptuous is that people would just accept it. People would keep working if they have, even if they have, even if they have a constant flow of money coming into them from the government every month. And all of those things, I don't think it will end out the way that most people think it will end out. In fact, there's a modern presidential candidate in Andrew Yang whose entire premise is based around universal basic income. That's his basically his entire campaign, or at least the tent stake, the major tent stake in his campaign is UBI. And the reasoning that he is railing for it is not because he wants to rail in the welfare state, but rather he wants to use it as a sort of hedge against the rise of automation and artificial intelligence. Now, this is very important, obviously, to the points of which we discussed, and I don't think that's going to be a very good argument. You see, like I said, there are so many other industries that we cannot possibly predict right now that will come into play. While, yes, there might be our current industry right now might not exist 30-some years from now. But that doesn't mean that there will not be any industry that exists 30-some years from now. And it's really perplexing to think about this idea, because if you want to give out $1,000 a month, which is what Andrew Yang is proposing, then how are you going to constantly get that if less and less people are going to be paying taxes because less and less people are working and making less and less money? That is something I really have not quite figured out. From a devil's advocate perspective, I haven't figured that out yet. But that is, I do not think that that is going to be a very good argument. Even if you are somebody who's against automation, perhaps there could be another route for you to go. I don't think automation is a very good thing. It's something that's it's never, ever been a detriment to society. Even the people who lose their jobs, their lives improve because of automation. Human hands are freed up to go out and do other things that we might be more capable or more willing or more eager to go out and do. It truly liberates us, because capitalism and free markets, and with automation being the natural course of the way that capitalism and free markets work, free markets are a liberating experience. Sometimes you can't always miss or you can't always avoid the work that you inevitably have to do, but with automation and the way that AI is advancing, it is going to be unlocking a new wave of human industry that has never been unlocked before. And then, like I said, going far into the future, AI and automation, both of which are going to be vital when going out into the cosmos, when going out into the deepest reaches of space, or when trying to go down into the furthest depths of our own planet. We are going to find new sources of energy through AI, through automation. We're going to be finding new sources new places that we can call home through AI and through automation. All of these things paint a positive picture for the human experience. We have to embrace human progress with technological advances because that's the natural course of the marketplace. That is going to be our episode for this week. It was a little bit shorter, and a little bit shorter than what some of these other ones are going to be, especially when we get to some of the theorizing and theory crafting when it comes to the space one here in a couple weeks. But I did want to go over that, especially because it's becoming a hot button topic in the news today. So we're going to really have to look into that and start to get that seat at the table, so that way we can have the answers before they even come out. So that's going to be this week's episode. Like I said, next week is going to be on blockchain and how that industry is going to be transformative to the world and the way that we look at money. And then after that, we're going to go into space exploration, space colonization, and private, how we privatize and commercialize that. So with that being said, please be sure to follow me on Twitter at Caleb France. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter at MaLiberty. Be sure to follow the organization on Twitter at MaLiberty.org. And by the way, if you happen to be in the Northern Ohio / Cleveland area, on next Wednesday at 7 p.m., I will be speaking to the Cuyahoga Libertarians, and that's just right outside of Cleveland. There's going to be links to it on Facebook and on Twitter, so be sure to be on the lookout for that. And, come out and hear what I have to say. I'll be talking about reintegration. I'll be talking about criminal justice. I'll be talking about messaging our message to people who might not see eye to eye with us all the time. So it's going to be a fun evening. With that being said, be sure to, again, subscribe to us on iTunes so that you'll never miss an episode or an update. Like us on Facebook at the Maliberty Initiative. And I believe that's everything. I start to lose track after a while. So with that being said, until next week, we'll see you.